Trying to Kill Me podcast.
The podcast where me and my friends talk about the number one thing that makes our wives want to kill us. Toy collecting.
Shut up!
With Travis Bowles.
I am looking at you two fat bastards right now, and I'm like, there's no way people in America are going hungry.
Well, my son told me today that he didn't like hot dogs. How could you not like wieners? You just keep the wieners coming. What any chance?
Pete McCarthy.
Comes with two sets of hands, because sometimes you need gloves, sometimes you don't. The AIDS epidemic in Africa, hunger in the United States, and not having spare hands.
I just want to destroy villages, and that's all I've ever wanted to do.
And your host, Steve Bisciotti.
Chicks love to show their body off. It's the only thing they got nowadays. But she was married to Roger Rabbit, so she had his last name. She obviously wasn't going to hyphenate because she's a real woman.
So what if my favorite toys just happen to be half-naked muscular men? Alright, everybody, my wife's gonna kill me podcast. Me and Trav sitting here at the shop without Pete.
Finally
got that guy out of here. I love it. He gave us a key now, so we really are getting to the point where we don't need him. As long as he keeps paying the bills. He's too lazy to change a lock.
Oh yeah, there's no way he's changing a lock.
No. No way in hell that guy's cheap. He might tell Cody to do it, but...
And he doesn't listen to the podcast, so he won't even know that we've done these episodes without him.
Yeah, it's not like he's going to clean this up. It's not like he's going to come in here and, like, take down the equipment, or he'll just throw, like, crap on top of it. We'll have to move it every time. But, yeah, we really don't need that guy. But we are here. We're ready to use a little bit of podcasting. And Travis has got, or we have, a great guest. You want to tell everybody who it is, Travis?
Well, we've talked about this man, and more specifically, his company numerous times on this podcast, because they are pumping out some amazing product, especially if you're a Mythic Legions fan. And I don't know if you know this, but we are.
Yeah.
So
it's nice to be out of the closet.
Yeah, finally, right? Finally.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we've talked numerous times about My Action Figure Customs. It's pretty much where I get almost all of my custom pieces for Mythic Legions. And, you know, it's not because I'm just loyal, because a good friend of ours is doing work for him. It's because the stuff is just really amazing. And quality-wise, it's great, too. Which makes me very happy to be able to introduce Rob, who is the owner and operator of My Action Figure Customs. Welcome, Rob.
Welcome, guys. I really appreciate you having me on the show.
You say that now. We'll see how you feel in about 10 minutes.
Well, I do feel like I need to defend Pete, but, you know, if you don't show, I don't think you get any defense.
Agreed.
You know, Pete really wanted to be here. He actually was excited about talking to you. And the reality of it is, his wife has been gone for about 5 days and came home today. So while he might have been excited about talking to you, Rob, I think he was a little bit more interested in taking off his clothes with his wife.
I understand.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel bad for her, personally.
Yeah, it's got to be horrible to come home.
You guys see each other naked every day, so, right? Is it every day, weekly? I mean, how often does this little sex show happen?
Probably twice a week.
Amanda has to do that twice a week?
No, we see each other naked twice a week.
Oh, we do, yeah. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, that poor girl, though.
Yeah, I got nothing to say. She's a saint.
She is a saint.
She deserves a place.
She's like this beautiful little flower.
Yeah. Who has to satisfy the beast. She's like Belle.
She is.
Only the Beast doesn't transform into a prince at the end. He stays a big, hairy, oaf monster slob.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't even think the Beast is really fair. I think he's so much more like Shrek.
Yeah, you're right. It is more like Shrek. It is.
Wait, it's... have you guys considered just having a show where you let all the wives just talk?
Yes, it has been done.
Okay.
And it is not searchable or findable because it is a train wreck. It was a career ender.
Rob, the only way you can hear that episode is you have to be a Patreon supporter.
Okay.
And the only reason we did that is because we got so many requests for it that we felt like, well, if people are willing to pay for us, they must be crazy. And we'll put it there where they can listen to
it. Like, they obviously get our sense of humor if they're throwing money at it. So, right. You know, we're like, yeah, okay, we'll do it. So it actually was the 20th episode we recorded, which we at the time thought was a milestone.
You're like, 190 now or something? Something ridiculous?
We just recorded 160 before we called you.
Okay, 160. All right, yes.
But that doesn't include all of our, Comic-Con things or movie specials. That doesn't. So we're well over 200 recordings. I just don't know the exact number.
I've listened to several. I got to be honest with you guys. Some of them, when they go on for 2 hours, it's hard to find the amount of time to go back and search the previous episodes.
Oh, yeah.
I really have to depend on people, you know, plugging, like, oh, there's some a lot of information, new information dropped here. Jump in there and go see it.
Yeah.
And that is the hard part. And we, you know, it's funny when we talk to people originally, everybody's like, you got to keep this on. I think a half an hour even we had people telling us.
A half hour. Hour was the big one.
Yeah, an hour tops. And as we just kept doing it, it just was impossible. And then the talk is, okay, well, cut them into trying to, and it just didn't work. So, and the reality of it is our you know, a lot of our real loyal listeners, they've told us that, hey, you know, I listened to it at work, or I got a long drive, or so we just kind of do what works for us and hope that we find enough people to enjoy it.
Oh, yeah. You guys have a strong following. There's no doubt about it.
Well, they definitely smell strong. So, Rob, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Oh, well... let's see. I'm pretty sure I started off with my dad's scrotum. So, at least that's the story my parents have been telling me my entire life. I'm not real sure after that. But in all seriousness, born in the Midwest, dad was in the military, so I grew up as an army brat. Like every other kid that was neglected, my parents threw toys at me, or my grandparents did. So, complete love of action figures. As an adult or semi-adult, as my wife likes to call me, or I would have to say I've had a couple of careers. I'm ex-military myself, military intelligence, Arabic linguist, went to grad school, got into healthcare finance. That's what I've been doing the last 10 years or so, and collect Mythic Legions. I think, as you guys heard about a little bit earlier, I do breed and show Great Danes. That's my other hobby, something that I'm passionate about. I love Danes, have my entire life. And I don't know, other than that, I like to keep my life pretty boring. Try to keep I love your you know, toy drama concept. I do try to reduce my drama in my life to close to zero as I can get it. So, I don't know if there's any tidbits there you guys want to mine.
You know, I'll tell you, you sound a lot like us. You know, toy drama is really, especially Steve and I, Pete's a different story, but, man, we really try to stay away from drama.
Yeah, absolutely.
And don't get me wrong, we do get into a little bit of online with the toy stuff, but we still know, hey, it's just toys.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, people.
It really is. And I got to be honest, that's in doing the website, that is probably the hardest part for me. I'm not, you know, I'm a complete introvert. I've had the moments where I need to be an extrovert and for business side and my career, but dealing with people, it can be at times really exhausting. And I just am very direct, like to stay, you know, do what you say and say what you do, or say what you do and do what you say. I think is actually the proper way the expression works. Go ahead.
No, I was just agreeing with you.
Yeah, so I, you know, but it is really, it can be exhausting at times dealing with people's expectations of whatever they're perceiving that your company is and what you can offer and how fast you can offer it. And some of the complaints, the emails, and just the you know, I guess we're going to start off on the negative side of things, which kind of sucks. But, you know, when you think about it, I spend probably more time responding to emails that have already been answered if people would just, you know, spend a couple seconds reading. And since we're, from a production standpoint, a one-man shop, just me doing it, that takes up more time than anything else. So it's kind of weird. And, you know, there's a couple times where I've gotten into some heated email exchanges. And for me personally, it's just better to walk away and just not deal with the person anymore after, you know, you resolve the situation, of course. But, no, I don't know. They're just toys, guys.
Rob, you sound like me from the standpoint of, like, I don't even know how you put up with that stuff, because, like, I'll get people who will reach out to me. They know that I sell toys, and they'll be, you know, they'll ask if I have a certain toy, and yep, I got one, and they'll say, oh yeah, can you ship it? And I'm like, nope. If you want to buy it, I'll see you at this Comic-Con. You know, I'll see you at this toy show where you can buy it from me face to face, where I don't have to deal with some of these issues that can come with selling online or you know, shipping issues, or so I totally understand where you're like, man, that part of it can be a huge drag on how fun it actually is.
It truly is. And I gotta be honest, Cornboy is a saint compared to the amount of time that he's willing to spend to answer questions and interact. I don't think people realize how much of a time sink it really is.
Yeah.
And, you know, we all have families. You got wives you want to spend with. Some people have kids. And then we all have actual real careers that we're trying to do, you know, 40 to 60 hours a week. And there's not a lot of time left over to cater to a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, I think you're totally right. When I think about CB and what he does communicating with people online, he must have the patience. Because that is to answer the same question over and over again, that if you would just go to this website or you'd go read the email that they just sent out, you know, that probably gets pretty old real damn fast.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, totally. Imagine how sick he is of talking to us.
Well, you are some sick bastards, I'm not going to lie.
That's why he likes us.
That's why he likes us. Yeah.
I'm just excited to be able to cuss. Are you kidding me?
No kidding. Rob, Steve has a few questions for you. We kind of run a lot of our interviews through these questions. Nothing too hard, but I hope you're ready.
They're pretty damn easy. What kind of toys do you like? What were some of your favorite toys you liked as a child?
Oh, as a child. Well, I was a huge Motu and G.I. Joe. Those were the ones that I collected the most. Transformers is a strong third. From there, you know, obviously I dipped my toes in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. You know, everybody had a couple of mass toys. But yeah. Star Wars, obviously, but I was at the tail end of Star Wars in terms of the toys. You know, I was born in 78.
So, me too.
You know, I got to see Return of the Jedi in the movie theater, but you're talking only about 5 years old. So they had stopped producing most of the toys by the time that I hit around eight. I mean, obviously, parents were giving me toys before then, but I really hit the Motu, G.I. Joe, Transformers at the right time.
Dude, you were like a toy clone of me. Born in 78, Return of the Jedi was the first movie I ever saw in a theater. I didn't have any Star Wars toys. Masters was my first love. G.I. Joe was my second. I had some Transformers, but nothing like I had did with Masters and G.I. Joe. So, yeah. You like my toy clone, man.
Yeah, no, that's strong influences to this day. I mean, that's actually how I fell in Mythic Legions is I loved the stuff that they were putting out on the MOTU side, but I was had been overseas because of being a defense contractor and had missed out on the first start of the collection. I was kind of like wavering whether I wanted to go back or not. And then when I saw the Mythic Legions after about 2 or 3 years, I was like, no, this is fantastic. When I say 2 or 3 years, 2 or 3 years of debating whether or not to jump in on the start collecting MOTU, because I felt like it was starting at the tail end for me. So, yeah, yeah. That's where my love of Mythic Legions started, if you're going to get down to it. It was MOTU.
Mine as well. I was familiar with the Horsemen because of their work on Masters of the Universe Classics. And, yeah, I mean, it just speaks to us MOTU fans. I mean, Mythic Legion speaks to other than MOTU fans. I mean, they've got heavy D&D influences and just Sword Conan, Sword and Sorcery in general. But it definitely does check boxes for Masters of the Universe fans.
Certainly. Now, I can say I remember seeing Gotharopolis in some toy stores, comic book stores, and going, man, that looks really cool. You know, still hating myself because I didn't buy any.
Yeah.
Yeah, join the club.
Yeah, I know, right? I can remember Second and Charles is a secondhand bookstore. It's pretty big. It's, if you ever heard of Books a Million in the South, mm-hmm. They had a bunch in stock one time. Because I obviously bought somebody's collection out, and they were pretty cheap, and I just passed, and I was like, man, that's really awesome. I want to see what that is, but then I was like, oh, I'll probably never find anything else related to it again, blah, 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 walked out. I'm a dumbass. yeah, exactly.
So then I guess the next question, which you kind of already touched on, is what do you collect as an adult? Is it just Mythic Legions and maybe Masters, or you got other things in there too?
Well, small children. I collect small children. I hide those in the basement. Thank God I don't have a basement, so the FBI can't harass me now. I actually just slowly Mythic Legions. That's all I collect. Over the years, you know, I had a couple stand-ins, one or two figures for my desk, something like a Spawn or a Jetfire or something from that standpoint. But when I started collecting, which was about 2 years ago, we just done a renovation on my house, and I had my own fairly large office. And I was like, you know, like I said, I've been considering jumping into MOTU for a couple of years. And I was like, no, this Mythic Legions is just unique. I like the idea of a smaller toy company. And that's what I started collecting. And I went all in, and that's what I focus on. I can't tell. I don't think it gets talked about enough sometimes. But how much intellectual property has been bought up by like Hasbro, and how hard it is for a lot of the IP that we grew up as kids to get a hold of it and see it kind of grow. You know, that's the sad part for me. So the potential I see in Mythic Legions in terms of just the IP standpoint, man, I just get really excited about it. I just want it to keep going for forever.
Yeah, us too.
And it seems like it's going to. I mean, we'll see, of course. But so you said, you know, you got in about a couple years ago. Were you able to go back and get everything from like the first Kickstarter?
So don't hate me.
We won't.
I actually, when I decided I was going to collect it, start collecting, I just went in and bought an entire collection. Right before, it was during the All-Stars 2.0 voting.
Uh-huh.
It was when I jumped in, and I was able to go in and buy an entire collection. And so I do have everything back from the beginning. And man, unpacking those was fantastic. And then I bought like 3 more collections.
I bet.
Yeah. So I haven't stopped then.
And it might not even be a number that you remember, but do you recall what you paid for that first collection?
1800, right around 1800, 1850.
Because, you know, I'm just thinking a lot of those figures, you know, really, and now, I mean, you start to look at them and they're freaking nuts, of course.
Yeah, that doesn't sound too bad.
And, it, you know, I would think about with the time you're describing, you might have got in before some of those figures just really went off the Evil Bay charts, you know.
Yeah, I think a couple have been going over 100.
Yeah.
At that point, but you know, nothing of the, you know, the insane. Let me be frank. I think anything over 150 for a figure is just crazy for plastic. Not saying I wouldn't pay it. Just saying that just, you know, boggles the mind.
Yep.
But yes, I think I did. The guy that sold me the collection was very gracious. I actually got to buy my first test shot from him as well.
Oh, cool.
Which was the Barbarian Builder. And when I got that in hand, I was like, oh, my, you know, this is just gorgeous. And so that son of a bitch got me hooked on test shots as well. So I think the Four Horsemen of that guy check at this point.
Yeah. Ain't that the truth? You know, it's funny. We just look at our friend group and, you know, I'm not saying we influence them by any means, but you know, we went from me and Steve being the two guys that we knew, probably three, Boonstra probably was in right from the beginning.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, but that might be it in our friend group.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe Russ, but regardless, anyway.
I think Russ got in later, too.
Yeah, now, I mean, we're talking about 10 to 15 guys that are buying these things, you know, and I mean, that's just, you know, a small number, of course, to the horsemen, but the reality of it is man, it just keeps growing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even to the point of, like, we got a friend, Ben, who's, like, a hardcore Transformer guy. You know, Scooter just buys, like, the high-end Masterpiece and third-party stuff, but that dude, man, he's buying Mythic Legions now.
Mm.
You know, all it takes is that one figure that catches him. And,
yes.
And it seems like in every wave, there's at least one or two that are that really that one that for some reason it just reaches out to. And for him, it was Brother Mandibulus, which is, you know, just a beautiful figure. But it sucks him in, and man, it's just people. It's just more and more people coming to the party.
Oh no, yeah, I agree completely. If you get one in hand, it's hard. It's hard to walk away.
Yeah.
Just the quality is fantastic. And I think the appeal is there for just, I mean, any fantasy group. You can find the niche that really does hook and brings you in. So I think it was brilliant on their part in terms of the factions and how they cover so many different, I guess, niches.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how you would, you can say that. Yeah, niches, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that brings me to the last two questions, which is going to fly by right now because you only are collecting Mythic Legions, so that kind of negates the what would you get rid of if you had to. You don't have any choices, so you're keeping...
What toys would I drop to...
Yeah, the question is...
Would I pick between being a dog breeder and shower slash toy collector? Would I choose between those two?
Yeah, what would you choose between them?
Fuck that. That we decided to have to go to war. Yeah. You know, it's like the Kobayashi Maru, you know. I'd fucking rig that system. I tell you that. No.
You'd Chris Pine that, right?
Kelly. Well, Chris Pine, come on.
Well, he's the one that rigged it, and, you know, they showed exactly how that went down in the Chris Pine version, you know.
They did show that in the version, but he was not the first person to do it, sir. Come on. Don't do that.
He almost got court-martialed for it. Come on.
Holy shit. I'm talking about Star Trek. We're not even, like, big Star... No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, definitely would rig the fuck out of shit. I don't like to take no for an answer. I gotta be honest. I have to say I'm a bit of an asshole some days. My wife's like, she's like, if you didn't collect, you would be doing something else. And I was like, well, I just need a break. She goes, you don't know how to take a break. I'm like, yeah, you're right. No. I hate them, but I wouldn't tell her that to her face. She's not going to listen to this. So I'm not going to, she doesn't get any credit for being right, but she is right.
The last question is your day job or your regular life, are you out of the closet? Does everybody know about your obsession with Mythic Legions?
Does everybody know my obsession with Mythic Legions?
I mean, do you hide it from anybody? Do people come over and you have like a secret room that you never show people or?
No. At work, most people know that I have a quote unquote side business or slash quasi toy company, I guess you could call it. So a lot of people know about that at work from that standpoint. They're mesmerized by the 3D printing aspect of it. I have to say, what I do in healthcare finance, I work for a fairly large company, but luckily a lot of the people that I get to work with are very creative, even though we're all what I would call more math-based personalities. Everybody's actually really creative, and ironically, a lot of us are all into fantasy, D&D, strategy, whether it's through video games or Dungeons & Dragons or whatever, so everyone appreciates me being in Mythic Legions, and this whole side business thing really draws them in from an intellectual standpoint.
Cool. So I think it's funny, the questions are done, but I wanted to comment or actually ask for your comment on, you said you didn't get into Mythic Legions right away. You went and bought a big collection, which means you really haven't been around that long in the fandom, considering that you've been producing custom heads for a while now. You must have started that like immediately once you started collecting these things.
So all right, so no, well, it's all relative, right? So from a time perspective, and I guess that just really kind of leads into the shop itself and how that got started. I had been collecting for about 4 or 5 months, and everybody knows the queen of customizing, Nikki, and she put, I think it was the first time she ever put up that beholder, but she'd also put up a Legion builder that she had either dry brush or painted a really nice gunmetal color, and I thought that silver or that color on that Night Builder was fantastic, and she said she did it, and I was like, all right, I'm going to give it a try. And that was what really, I had been into Warhammer before and been painting miniatures and things like that, but I was never really a gifted painter from that standpoint. And so I'm trying my first hand with a Legion builder painting, and I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. I thought it came out terrific. Never would show it to another human being, but I loved it. And of course, all these people were putting up their customs. I see some people trying to do some sculpts. I see over in the forums, Bad Vermin had done some pieces to put on some of the figures. And then, of course, obviously, Zombie 13 had some little custom parts. And so I wanted to make some custom kind of horns for a lot of the helmets. That one helmet that usually comes on like the Bar Builder pack, or
yep,
I forget what some people call it. And I was like, well, I just want to make some custom parts for that. So I couldn't 3D sculpt, didn't know anything about it, but I knew enough about 3D printing and Shapeways. So I contacted an artist on there and had them, working with them to try to make some custom parts for the helmet. And that was just a project for me. I wanted to try to do that. It had limited success, to be frank. The artist was not that gifted. I didn't know exactly the terminology or what I needed to say to communicate the concept. And the time delay with Shapeways, was pretty long. And so I actually put in, I want to say, a good $500 in just making some spikes and some horns for one of my figures. And that was what got me started. That was the first time I did it. So that was, like I said, 4 or 5 months after I bought my first collection. Fast forward another 5, 6 months later, actually right around about November of last year. I know this is long winded as hell, so y'all can stop me and interject anytime you feel like, but
I'll keep going.
I decided my Christmas present to myself was I was going to do some custom heads. And I reached out to a couple people on the forums to see if they knew any good 3D artists, because I didn't want to go back to the guy I used previously. And they, Eddie Salvatore III, as I'm sure you guys all know Eddie.
Yep.
It recommended Sebastian Dominguez, commonly known as the artist of Sebadom, or art of Sebadom, but Sebadom the artist.
Mm-hmm.
I had reached out to him about just doing some custom heads for me. And he thankfully had some time in his schedule and was more than happy to do it. I asked him, you know, he gave me a price range on what he thought a head would take, but he actually charges by the hour. And at that point, I got thrilled and excited and went through and did a PowerPoint of what I wanted my little marauder band of barbarians that I was trying to custom build from that standpoint, these little individual characters, and pulled that together, sent it over to him, and he started designing. So the first head came back based off the reference photos. And at this point, I'm using Shapeways. I'd upload the file to Shapeways, I'd order it, blah, blah, blah. Well, if you don't know, I've heard they've gotten better, but back then it used to take 4 to 6 weeks to get something back from Shapeways.
Okay.
And a head, you know, depending on the density of the material, sometimes it could cost $30 or even more to get a head back. And so you're trying to size the fit, and so you're waiting 4 to 6 weeks between each part. So you get a part, it wouldn't be the right size, it wouldn't fit, so you got to make, you know, tell the artist to make a little bit of corrections. You make those corrections, he could send the file back to you that same day, you upload it, and then you got to wait 4 more weeks to get it.
Ouch. Well,
call it divine intervention or whatever, but about that time, Cornboy had posted a video of their Form 2s online.
I remember the video.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. And I remember I reached out to him on Instant Messenger, asked me up, and he's like, yeah, that's what we use. I was like, okay. And I just bought one. I was like, I did the math on it's going to take me this long, paying this much. If I, you know, make a couple extra more, I'll pay for the price of a damn 4-2 by the end of my little personal project. Screw it. I'll just buy one and see if it's that easy. Got it. Bought it. Got it home. Printed my first head that day. The first head that I ordered showed up 3 weeks later from Shapeways.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah. And I was like, holy shit, this is awesome. You know, I was just like, this is, because like, you're literally making something. You're actually it being made in front of me.
Yeah.
This is, and I was like, I was pumped. I was like,
it's like,
oh,
it's like
God,
a Polaroid.
I was like, I'm going to have this whole thing done before Christmas. Are you kidding me? And so I was planning on having like this big reveal. And we got to remember, this was something for me.
Yeah.
I bought a printer for me. The heads were for me. Like, I had no concept of making a website, selling these things, nothing. And so I'm on break over Christmas. I'm making these heads, and literally, I think this is like the 24th. No, it's like the 22nd. I was like, you know what? I'm gonna sell these online. I'm just gonna. I get bored easily, and I just try things. And I was like, I'm just gonna make a website. I'm gonna sell some of these. I just want, you know, I'm thinking the demand for these is like, I'm going to sell 5 of these things, tops, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the project at that point turned into me just making a website, because I'd never made a website before. Mm. So I started, because it's really easy to start a company. I can do that in a day. That takes nothing in terms of capital or anything. I know some people think it's a big deal, but it's really not. It's super easy to do from that standpoint. When I say start a company, I just mean the paperwork involved.
Yep.
And started the paperwork, had the website up in a day, and I was like, all right, 5 days later, we're launching.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That is literally how that got started. Like, I had, you know, it was too easy. And part of it was the quality of the prints was so much better than anything I was getting from Shapeways. It was just too much fun. And I'm sure you guys are there in terms of, you know, the Four Horsemen do a fantastic job on the products. We all love them. I think the thing is that a lot of us just crave so much more. And while that's, it's sort of that balance between not trying to be selfish and wanting them to produce as much as possible, because we all know that's not the right thing to do from a business standpoint.
Yep.
But so I was kind of trying, I was trying to meet my own personal demand, and I completely underestimated that there were that many more people like me.
Yeah, I could see that.
Well, and it seems like there's just more and more coming too. You know, people falling in love with this line and then seeing these pictures. And I mean, I can't tell you how many times I see somebody post a custom that is one of your heads, and people say, I want that. Where do I get it?
Yeah. I've seen a 5-time fold increase easily since February of last year.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's gotten pretty huge. And now there's a couple reasons, a couple things I attribute that to. One, the line has, from everything I'm being told, dramatically taking off since the beginning.
Yeah.
Like it's not exponential growth, but it's damn well geometric or better growth. And that's the first part of it. I think the second part of it is you bring people in who have been customizing in other lines, who you're now giving them the tools they need or wanted to make customizing easier. You know, before, what did we have? You had to depend on somebody to make a sculpt, or you went and got parts off of other figures and tried to make them fit. And sometimes they fit great, and other times not so much, and it all depends on how much time and effort you can put into it. You know, now the ability to pull in a couple of parts and really transform a character is so much easier. So I think that contributes to my website's growth. I think also, you know, in the beginning, it was just, I was just using one artist. And Subadom is a fantastic, talented young man. And he did a great job of coming up with stuff on his own and also, you know, bringing to life a lot of the stuff that I wanted. I think in recent months, the reason why there's so much more demand is because there's so many more artists involved. And I think it's the fan artists, you know, from GD Lake to Zombie to Kevin, Lee J. Robinson. I think that has also had a dramatic effect, that you have so many different creative people making things that they want, and then you realize that there's people just like them that want those things too. And so that adds to it. When I brought on, and Travis, thank you for introducing me to Chris and bringing him on board. When we started adding the painted parts, that was really instrumental for all those people that either don't have time or they're too scared or feel like they're not talented enough to bring these pieces to life. I think that's another thing that has also really helped demand in those terms, because it helps people see the potential there.
You know what's funny is what you were describing is exactly the truth. And I got to throw out thanks to Steve, because he's the one that brought Hobby Lobby to me. The reality of it is, when I first started looking at your pieces, I love them, but I really struggle when I just see a gray, you know, like 3D rendering on the internet. Like, I don't paint. I'm not artistic. I'm pretty far from it, actually. So it's hard for me sometimes to even envision that stuff. But then when you start throwing up those pictures of them painted, it's like, oh my God, I have to have that. So I love that aspect. That, like, right now with your current sale, you can get on there right now. And I get it. It's the painted one. So, yeah, that's what you're buying. But I get on there and look, and I go, holy shit. I mean, that screams buy to me.
Yeah.
And I understand, too, that's just me. But I think you're right. It just adds that next component. So you can get those people that aren't comfortable painting.
Oh, yeah, I know. And I'll go back and forth. Like, we talked about, you know, internally, like, when I talk to the guys, do we want to put the parts up painted first? And sometimes that works, and sometimes it kind of backfires. Like, people, there's so many creative people out there that can come up with so much more or better ideas than I can in terms of paint scheme. And, you know, you look at, Michael Flournoy, what he did with that Jim Panson head on the, turning him into the Man at Arms. Like, I did not see that. I don't know if you guys have seen that one, but that was epic.
Was that, did he have that at Legion Con?
No, he wasn't at Legion Con.
Okay.
He was only posted the biggest. It's worth going to check. Like, it was like, that is brilliant.
Is he the one that he also had, like, somebody done as Beast Man?
I think he had done a Beast Man
as
well. Yes.
Yeah, I know. I've seen what you described, and I know it was absolutely amazing.
Yeah. Well, Chris, now, I got to be honest. Chris, Hobby Lobby, when he is, this is a true story, you know, the Enraged Dravenhead, I think, had been out for, like, 2 weeks. And when you posted those pictures of the blood and the black and white, like, the sales went through the roof for us. It was like, holy shit. Like, when everybody saw what it could be,
yes.
You know, it was like, everybody has to. It's so funny, because I don't know if you remember, like, people were screaming about how they wanted this head or that head. Nobody wanted a vampire head.
Yeah.
There was not not a single request for a vampire. And I got to be honest, since that head, no one's even asked for another vampire head.
Yeah, that is true.
It is. But that's one of the best-selling heads. Like, I don't, let me tell you, as a fan, I've learned so much and in terms of what people want and what they say they want and then what they buy.
Yeah.
Or, you know, and how you don't confuse likes with actual purchases.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's just, like, a huge disconnect there. And it gets really interesting, because people talk about, you know, everybody was beating down my door about wanting a dwarf head. I put out a dwarf head, and it did fine at first.
Yep.
It did fine. It went great. But it wasn't, like, all-star. You know,
mm-hmm.
Once again, Draven, the vampire head over there, kicking its ass all day long. And so it's like, well, I don't understand. You know, everybody said they wanted this, you know, put all this, you know, invest this money into it. And people are like, you know, and I thought it's like the goblin heads. When I released those, they did okay. They didn't do great. You know?
Yeah.
I thought, well, certainly the goblins by that point were the best selling figure ever. So I'm thinking, that makes, you know, I love goblins. Got a freaking army of them over here. I thought people would go apeshit over it. They went apeshit over the goblin weapons.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, it's really interesting. I can't predict to 100% or to what I would be effective in terms of knowing what's going to work and what's not going to work. I'll tell you another thing that I thought was very interesting in the beginning. The difference between putting a clean helmet versus a slightly battle damaged helmet. 90% of the people pick the clean helmet.
Really?
I was expecting you to say the opposite.
That's what I don't get. When you look at Mythic Legions, those little small details, those little dents, the scratches, that's what I love.
Yeah.
Telling you, 90% of the people picked the clean version.
Wow. That's not how I would go.
What?
But I think it goes back to what you were saying earlier about, I don't think people really see, all they see is the gray. Sometimes they don't see the potential and what you can do with that.
Yes.
So that's, but you know, that's, you know, I can talk for hours about the evolution of how, what we offer now versus how we started in the beginning and the difference. You know, I started in the beginning offering a lot of variants, and what I really saw was everybody gravitated 80% of people gravitated toward one variant, and then the other 20% would pick one or another variant. There was no point in ever offering more than two variants.
Mm-hmm.
I think also it was really interesting in the beginning because people say, oh, I'd buy five of those. I'm still waiting on those people to buy one.
What's been your best seller?
What do you guys think's been the best seller? This is always a fun topic.
Man, I wouldn't, obviously you've brought up the vampire head. But I probably wouldn't have guessed that, even though I've seen that on a ton of people's pictures. You know, between the blood armor and then Baron, whatever his name is.
Voliger.
Yep. I've seen that so many times on those two figures. But man, I it's hard for me because the dwarf heads, I mean, I've got probably 10 of them myself, and maybe it's not that many. I bet it's closer to probably 7. But I absolutely love that.
I'm going to guess Battle Cat's helmet.
The Dark War Mask, which goes for Purple Lore, actually is the best selling item today.
Holy shit. And people don't even have the figure yet.
Exactly.
Explain
that one to me.
I can tell you, I bought 3 of them. You know, so I it makes sense to me. And it doesn't surprise me that it's a He-Man inspired figure. It seems like those sell really well. For me personally, it shows. You know, so because you're right. You're getting the Mythic Legion collector, and now you're getting the Motu collector.
Was Battlecat's helmet a good seller?
The War Mask, as we like to call it, it's
right.
It was a very good seller. Actually, sold out, and we had capped the number of War Masks being sold at the time. I still cap everything in terms of to limit how many can be sold. A lot of there's a twofold reason. One is so I don't get overwhelmed, and which I still do.
I imagine.
And two, it's also in terms of not pissing off customers. Like this last sale previously, I put too many items up for sale. And what I was really trying to do was I have so many artists that work with me now. I was trying to make sure that they got their items. Like there wasn't one item that I had contracted out in terms of like I owned the design last sale. Not one of my items. That was all items that, you know, a fan artist had made that they owned the right to. And that's what I was trying to do, but it was way too many items and I got completely over. I also got sick and there were also Legion's Con, completely overwhelmed, and it took, I think, 5 weeks to get everything shipped out by the end of from the end of the sale, which is just way too long for people to be waiting on their items. And so that's why I have to limit, because there's just one guy here in his spare time,
yeah,
trying to get orders out, trying to actually make the items, and that's why we do that. So that has a limit on, that has limited, what's truly the most fan favorite, which one would have sold more. You know, Purple Lore had a higher count in terms of what we were willing to sell at that point.
Yep.
And part of that was because I'd already pre-printed so many that I wasn't scared from that one print standpoint of being overwhelmed because I already started printing them.
Yeah.
So,
you know, it's funny you bring up that how, you know, you're trying to take care of the fans and not get the fans mad at you. And I thought of two other reasons why that last order would have bothered fans. And I just hear me out on these. One, my personally, my bill was $250. And that it was because there was so much cool stuff. Now I'm not mad at you. But I could see people going, I can't spend as much money as I really want to. Because there's so many items offered in this one listing.
And then they're limited.
Yeah, and then they're limited.
So you can't go back.
Yeah, and
grab them.
Yep. And we totally get why you do that. You know, what you're saying makes sense. It's you. You're one person. And this isn't your job. So
you'd be surprised how many people don't realize.
Yeah, and I understand that, and that's part of, you know, being a business owner, and I get it. But then the other thing, so like what you said about the delay, and this is the other side of that there's some people I imagine that buy from you that there are these hardcore customizers, and they want to get this stuff as fast as possible because they have a vision in their mind.
Mm-hmm.
And then if it's delayed like that and someone else gets it first or pops off their idea, you know, gets their idea out there first, or they just mentally have even moved on, I could see why they struggle with that.
Yeah.
You know, and it makes sense. I get it.
Oh, yeah. No, it's huge. In fact, people ask me, why do you wait till the end of the sale? You know, why do you do the shipping that way? And there's one reason, which is true. I found it easier for me to batch print items, meaning I load up, like, say, one head on the printer. It's printing 8 or 12 or 15 of them. I'll do that on a couple printers, and I'll have another head on a couple different printers, and I'm batch printing the total amount that I need. That's much easier than me trying to print one order at a time. The second reason I try to ship the orders in a consolidated fashion is I don't want some people getting parts 2 weeks before somebody else gets parts, and their order was, the timing between their order might have been separated by like 3 or 4 hours.
Oh,
because
right.
They've already painted it, put it out there, goes back to somebody else's, you know, that was their vision or their color. I'd much rather everybody try to get it in the same, about the same time period from that standpoint. And also because, I got to be frank, when people start putting up their parts, I get inundated with emails, where's my shipment?
Yeah.
And I'm like, did you check your tracking number? like, clearly it says it's going to be delivered tomorrow. You could just not email me, and I don't have to do the response thing. but you know, there's some things I don't understand. Like, from my standpoint, I think everybody gets a tracking number. I don't understand if people are or not. That's the kind of feedback that I don't get. I don't know if it's going into their trash email. I don't know if they put in bogus emails. I don't know.
Right.
But that's why that tracking system, everybody gets a tracking number. I don't, you know, it's supposed to be automated. It gets sent to you. Some people say they get it, and other people say they don't. So,
well,
that's the kind of feedback that people don't give you.
Right, right. They just complain that they ain't got their stuff yet.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow. Well, I think you found a great business plan, and that's kind of surround yourself. Obviously, some of this stuff, you know, you're the one that's coming up with the designs, but you've also found, you know, artists and painters, and you know, you're surrounding yourself with these very talented people. That's kind of what I've felt like I've always done. Is you know, I surround myself with these people that can run a podcast for, you know, that I get to be on and can help me set up my toy booth and paint my toys. And I think that's the key there. You know, you say that you're not that social of a person, but dude, you're reaching out and doing these things that you need to be pretty successful and get these great toys out there.
I appreciate that. We try. There's a little group. We converse with each other. It's hard. It's interesting, and I'm sure you get this. The amount of people that are buying from you is this large number, and then the people that are actually, in terms of giving you feedback, is so small.
Yes.
And so it's so very easy to see, from a Mythic Legion standpoint, you know, we probably can all name the dozen people that are bitch or complain all the time. They're the same 12 people. And they're just a immaterial percentage of the amount of people buying. But they're the people that are actually giving feedback.
Yeah.
And so same thing for me. The percentage of people that actually give feedback, positive or negative, is very small compared to the amount of people that are actually purchasing from me. And it's a little disheartening because it's hard to get feedback on what people like or dislike. I get the negative feedback where something doesn't fit perfectly.
Yep.
Can understand that. But I need something more than that. You know, the aesthetic, the designs, what you might have done better. I know that, you know, when I did that whole, you know, I've done two of them now where I asked for fan feedback on a head, like how would you change it? And I think in each instance, only six people mentioned anything about in terms of what they would change. And it's funny, I've had more than that ask for a custom head design, and then when they find out the price, not want to follow through. So I don't, you know, it's one of those, like, here's your opportunity to actually influence the design. It doesn't happen.
Yeah, I hate to say it, but I think I am guilty. I remember a post you put up asking for, you know, what do you guys think about this? And I'll be honest, I'm not a very opinionated person, which sounds so stupid considering I'm on a podcast, but these guys make fun of me for it all the time. I'm not the guy to say, well, I wish you would have done this a little bit better.
I just feel like an asshole.
Yeah.
Now, especially, okay, so here's the difference. If you put a post up where other people are going to see my comments, I am way less likely to comment. If you had my number and you sent me a picture personally and said, hey, Steve, is there anything you'd change on this? You would definitely get an answer.
A long-winded, boring answer.
Then you'd be like, what the hell is he even talking about? And I'll never do this again.
What does Dong Walls have to do with this action figure?
I'll be ranting about stupid shit. It would be a train wreck. But
now, see, that's perfect feedback. Now let me ask you this: would it work to send out an email for, you know, so everybody could send an email back to me, or do you feel like it has to be something very short? Would it be better just to do a short survey that's sent out by email that people, so their responses aren't individually known? Because I've often wondered that on, like, the polls on Facebook. You know, you see who voted where. Does that influence your decision on where you voted? If you see other people voting at the top, blah, 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 that kind of thing.
I think it does.
I think it would. I'm telling you, I would be more apt to answer in where it feels like it's almost one-on-one. Instead of me, you know, oh, the jaw's too big. And then some guy is, you know, looking at my comment and he's like, that guy's an asshole. The jaw's fine.
Look at his profile picture. His jaw's too big.
Yeah, who's he think he is? Guy's fat. And it's like, oh, yeah, like you're skinny.
Well, I'm a fat ass, so I'm the world. What do you guys want to see? I mean,
I want to see fat guys.
I hate to tell you this, but I actually thought the same thing as, like, I was going to say, what could we tell you to make? And that's exact fat guys.
Like not fat, blubbery fat, like the big, you know, hard-looking fat guys with big arms, you know?
And that's, I mean, hard. Obviously, we're telling you torsos.
Yeah, I know. You're
talking about a power lifter.
Yeah, that sort of thing.
Yeah,
a 1980s WWE or WWF wrestler.
Yes,
you Big know, John Studd,
Van Vader.
Yeah,
that sort of.
And actually, the double headed torso, that I think the one Chris painted. I can't remember which one I sent Chris. The one Zombie did has a covered waist, but it still kind of pokes out. Actually, here's the one Chris. It's in the box here. I'm trying to figure out which one I sent to Chris because there's three versions. Three versions of the double headed torso. And there's the armored belly version. So we were wanting to design a torso that was a little bit heavier. I thought the two-headed torso that, you know, you guys have seen some pictures of, I thought would be a good place to try it.
Yeah,
there's three different variants on it. There's the belt version that Zombie 13 did, that fantastic blue. Chris got the opportunity to take his hand at a Fury York version where he painted it red, and it sort of got a little bit bigger belly, sort of that bodybuilder
Yeah.
You know, the power lifters where you see it kind of poking out a little bit.
Yeah.
I think the problem, it's not really a problem with the sculpt, I think is that it's still a little too heavily ripped. And so you don't quite see it as much if we tone down the striation and the muscles a little bit. I think it would come through a little bit.
The problem
that we have is that the arms are so muscular when you're trying to make a torso that pulls the arms and the thighs in together aesthetically. It's a little hard to tone it down and still make it work.
Man.
But it's a challenge, and we're still going to
Rob, listening to you two talk about the male physique, is it's like Steve's got his mouth is watering over here.
Oh, I can feel it. I can feel it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I know exactly. I feel you, man. Everything you're saying is just, it's resonating. Got it.
All right, Rob, we're going to get you out of here. We've definitely... held you hostage long enough. Why don't you tell us what you got going right now and tell these people where to find your stuff.
Awesome. Well, www.myactionfigurecustoms.com is the website. Be sure to come by the Facebook group. It's the same name. Sign up. That's where I have the most updates. That's where a lot of the artists will provide updates on what they're doing and the sculpts they're providing. Currently, we have a painted cell pre-order going on right now for several of the screening orc heads that were demanded over several months, finally got released. This is the first time they're available. We'll certainly have some unpainted versions in the future.
Yeah.
And we'll, I think we also have the Purple Ore War Mask and Feral Feet set from Zombie on there as well. And we have one of our passion projects from me and GD Lake, the overpriced painted cannon wagon set, which is fantastic and absolutely beautiful. And I think it's a little overpriced for the average Mythic Legions fan, but it's something we wanted to put out there. We know a couple of you will certainly be entertained by buying it, but it's something we wanted to do, and hopefully in the future we can come up with some ways to get the prices a little bit lower on items like that.
Well, it's an amazing piece regardless.
It's an amazing piece, and those screaming orc heads are amazing. I truly love them. So.
Well, we've been trying. Guys, I really appreciate you having me on. It's fun to listen to you guys. Love the banter. Hope to do it soon sometime.
Yeah, it's great talking to you, Rob. Thanks for coming on, bud.
All right, that's going to wrap up that episode with Robert Post. Rob Post. Awesome having you on. Thank you. And we will we'll have you on again. We're going to wrap. We've recorded two episodes a day, and I am tired. All right, everybody. Talk to you later.